Now's the time to compensate.
It's mid-afternoon a few weeks before the end of spring semester at the University of Georgia, and a group of about 200 people, mostly students, are on the march to the administration building. The protesters want UGA to acknowledge publicly and in history classes that enslaved people built much of UGA's picturesque North Campus. This follows anger over how UGA handled the discovery of over 100 graves of enslaved people during the expansion of the building that houses the anthropology department. Most were reinterred, but 8 remained buried underneath the foundations of Baldwin Hall.
This has been 400 years in the making.
Protesters want a living wage for all campus employees. They're also focused on the gulf between who attends the University of Georgia and who lives in the city of Athens. While 8% of the UGA student body is black, Athens at large is closer to 30% African American, as is the state of Georgia. The protesters want full scholarships for any African American student from an Athens high school or for any descendant of an enslaved person. The protesters want to schedule a meeting with UGA President Jerry Moorhead.
We wanted to get the meeting scheduled on the books before fall semester.
Moorhead's not in his office. He never speaks with me for this story either. But via email, his public relations office did explain why scholarships explicitly for African-American students are off the table. In the 1990s, UGA began a scholarship program for black students. But not long after, 15 white students sued in federal court, claiming the program violated the Civil Rights Act. UGA settled, and the students got a promise from the university system's Board of Regents that there would never be race-based scholarships at UGA again. Rochelle Berry is a graduate student at UGA and one of the reparation protests organizers. She says the consent decree shouldn't be an obstacle.
There are ways to get at this that other universities who are in these same constraints have been able to do.
Berry says instead UGA could focus on the economic challenges that often stand between black students and college.
That's right. Like first-generation college students more likely to be students of color, low-income students. They don't have to take our language. We're not administrators, we're not lawyers. But I do think that our argument is that they do need to do something.
That something was clear to Tim Rennick years ago. Rennick is the Senior Vice President for Student Success at Georgia State University. He says when he first arrived at GSU in the 1990s, it looked like the University of Georgia, very white. But that was changing.
And the sad reality is, as we were becoming more diverse, we were enrolling more and more of the students, we were less successful in graduating.
These were first-generation students, single parents, veterans.
Low-income students, students of color.
Many of the people Rochelle Berry was just talking about. And Rennick saw the world of traditional universities was not set up to work for them.
They've still, at core, been these institutions that were designed on the assumption that people are coming in from privileged backgrounds who kind of know the way the world works and have the supports to guide them.
So a little over a decade ago, Rennick and GSU began building their own supports, like the advising system.
We have hired across Georgia State University over 100 additional academic advisors over the last 7 or 8 years so that we would have people on the ground watching students and intervening to support them if they were there to go off path.
Then there's the Panther Retention Grant, up to $1,500 that lands in your bank account. No questions asked if you come up short on fees or for class registration. No minimum GPA required. These and other supports have paid off particularly well for African-American students. In the past decade, GSU has doubled African-American enrollment to just over 40%. The university graduates more black students every year than any other university in the nation. In short, Georgia State has done a lot of what the protesters are asking for at the University of Georgia, with one big exception. Tim Rennick says the programs at GSU are utterly blind to race.
Our philosophy is that all students should be supported. All students should benefit from good advising and good financial aid and proactive interventions when they make a misstep.
Based on their needs as individuals. So if Georgia State has created racial equity, Tim Rennick says it's just because he was chasing equity in general. So for the UGA protesters, would GSU-style supports satisfy as reparations? I came back to Rochelle Berry, the UGA grad student and one of the organizers of the UGA protest.
So I think it's a yes and answer.
Berry says yes because you have to be realistic about what's politically doable in the South.
I think that it's politically necessary to say that these are race-neutral programs.
But she says they're only race-neutral if race is only about skin, which, of course, it's not.
Then we have to understand that, like, these markers for first-generation college student, for a certain economic status, for a certain experience actually does correlate to race.
Barry says race and racism are skin plus the system we've built around skin. All the things they look for to know when students need help at Georgia State, they flow from that system. She says the steps to change the system are meaningless if we aren't honest about how it was built in the first place.
How do we understand the reasons for this?
So what Georgia State has done might work at UGA, but not without tackling history.
And so, like, I need the history of slavery to be told alongside the material benefits of changing the institution of education that has always supported racial violence.
The protesters never did make an appointment to speak face-to-face with UGA President Jerry Moorhead. And meanwhile, the debate about how Georgia's university system at large will grapple with its history will continue. Graves, possibly those of enslaved people, were recently found under a grassy quad on the campus of the University of West Georgia. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.